Track 12, Musical Memories. Time for some music now, I think. And we can continue with and finish our exploration of national anthems with Tony.
If you were listening last time, you will remember that we did the Grand Tour, exploring the national anthems of various European countries. But how about our own nation? Or perhaps, I should say, nations? Of course, we Brits are very fond of our own national anthem, aren't we? Even if some of us are still having trouble getting to grips with the fact that it is now God Save the King and not the Queen. But let's not forget that in fact we are actually four nations when it comes to patriotic fervour, particularly on the sports field. So before we hear our most famous tune, we should consider the adopted and accepted anthems of Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Although Scotland does not so far have an official national anthem, two songs are commonly used as de facto anthems, Flower of Scotland and Scotland the Brave, which are heard at sporting events and significant national occasions. At most international sporting events, Scotland uses Flower of Scotland as its anthem. The piece was written in the mid-1960s by Roy Williamson, a member of the folk group The Corries, and it was first performed in 1967 on BBC television. The lyrics and nature of the song have proved somewhat controversial, given its reference to the Scots' victory over the English at the Battle of Bannockburn in 1314, under Robert the Bruce. It was first sung by the Scottish National Rugby Union team during the British Lions tour of South Africa in 1974. It began being used as the pre-game anthem by that team during the 1990 Five Nations Championship. By 1997, the Scottish Football Association had their pre-game anthem for the Scottish national football team. Scotland the Brave was used by Team Scotland at the Commonwealth Games until 2010, when it was replaced with Flower of Scotland. Let's have a blast of both of these now.
I have serenely smiled when armies and empires against me were hurled. Firm as my native rock, I have withstood the shock of England, of Denmark, of Rome and the world. But see how proudly her war steeds are prancing. Deep groans of
the unofficial national anthem of Wales is, as far as I'm concerned, completely unpronounceable in its native language. Tim, can you assist?
Well, Tony, that'll be My Hen Gladfern Had I. My Hen Gladfern Had I.
We normally render it as Land of My Fathers. The words were written by Evan James and the tune was composed by his son James James, both of Pontypridd in Glamorgan in 1856. It was known originally as Glan Rhondda, the Banks of the Rhondda. It was first performed in the vestry of Tabor Chapel, which later became a working men's club. James James, the composer, was a harpist who played it in his local pub for people to dance to. But he had to slow down the piece when it became sung by large crowds. The popularity of the song increased after Llangollen Festival in 1858, sung by large crowds. The popularity of the song increased after the Llangollen Festival in 1558 and increased further after the Bangor Eisteddfod in 1874 when it was sung by Robert Rees, one of the leading Welsh soloists of his day. He was then increasingly sung at patriotic gatherings and gradually developed into a national anthem. In fact, it was the first national anthem to be sung at the start of a sporting event. In 1905, the Welsh national rugby team hosted New Zealand's first touring team, who started every match by performing the haka. In response, Teddy Morgan led the crowd in singing the anthem. Like other British anthems, it has now not been established as a national anthem by law, but it has been used at official government ceremonies, including the opening of the Welsh Parliament, and at receptions for the British monarchy since the 1970s. It is indeed a very powerful melody, and when sung en masse by those glorious Welsh voices, it never fails to bring a tear to my eye. So get your tissues ready. There is no official anthem which represents only Northern Ireland, but when required, it is the Londonderry Air which represents this part of the UK. The Londonderry Air is an Irish folk tune which was collected by one Jane Ross in County Londonderry in the 19th century. It was subsequently published by the Society for the Preservation and Publication of the Melodies of Ireland. The song Danny Boy, written by the English lawyer Fred Weatherly, set his lyrics to the tune in 1913. And this is another one which always brings a tear to my eye. And so we have now arrived at the piece you've all been waiting for, the piece which we seem to have known and heard since we were in the cradle. But how much do we actually know about it? God Save the King, or God Save the Queen, as most of us have grown up with, is of course the de facto national anthem of the United Kingdom. The composition in its entirety is the musical salute for the British monarch and royal consort. Lesser royals have sometimes been treated to a shorter version, but that is becoming less likely as so many of them have fallen by the wayside. Since its first publication, different verses have been added or taken away, but in general only one verse is sung and only occasionally two. The author of the original melody is surprisingly unknown. The rhythm is that of a dance known as a galliard, and various attributions to the melody have been made, including a keyboard piece from the 1699 by John Bull and several pieces by Henry Purcell. The first published version that resembles the present song appeared in 1744. But in 1745, the Gentleman's Magazine published God Save the King as a new song set for two voices and sung at the Theatres Royal, Drury Lane and Covent Garden. Traditionally, the first performance is thought to have been in a setting by the English composer Thomas Arne, when it was sung in support of King George II after his defeat at the Battle of Preston Pans by the army of Charles Edward Stuart, the Jacobite claimant to the British throne. Its adoption as our national anthem can probably be said to date from this time. The phrase, God Save the King, is much older than the song, appearing, for instance, several times in the Bible, and God Save the Queen crops up in Shakespeare's Richard III, though I'm not sure why. Like many aspects of British constitutional life, God Save the King derives its official status from custom and usage rather than from royal proclamation or Act of Parliament. England itself has no official national anthem of its own, and God Save the King is treated as the English national anthem when England is represented at sporting events, although there are some exceptions, such as cricket, where these days Jerusalem is used. In fact, there's now a movement to establish a specifically English national anthem, with Blake and Parry's Jerusalem and Elgar's Land of Hope and Glory among the top contenders. But that's a discussion for another time. So, without more ado, can I ask you to be upstanding and in good voice for our very own national anthem?
Tony, a rousing finale, I hope you would agree.